Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm Kelly. And I'm Laura.
And you're listening to
Sexy Unique Podcast.
Tough Sicilian
Bitches.
Belches? Tough Sicilian
Tough Sicilian Belches.
Tough Sicilian Belches. Tough Sicilian MILFs.
Tough Sicilian Britches.
I put on my Tough Sicilian Britches today.
Yeah, you did.
I just got up and...
You slapped on a good face and carried on with your fucking day.
Slapped on some yoga pants and a sports bra, put a fleece on.
I'm wearing jeans. I wore sneakers today in my house. I have my hair gelled. I shaved yesterday. I have Mederma for this giant fucking, because I pick my fucking acne when I'm stressed.
And I've been there.
I had to put Mederma on. I literally last week looked like Faces of Meth. No, I picked so hard at my forehead and right. I'm sorry, this is gross.
No, say it.
And I was
say
like,
your gross
holy
truth.
Shit. And Simon and I was like, I look like I'm kind of like a meth person right now. And he was like, yeah, just don't pick your face. And I was like, it's true.
You're like, so you're saying I look like a meth head? You get. Like,
I did, though. I was like, oh, it was dark.
You know what? We've all been there.
That's my truth. And listen, if there's anyone like it's a truth and it's part of my anxiety. I like when I have like a zit or something, I don't even have that much, but I do get breakouts. And when I do break out, I pick at my face and it's a nervous thing, I think. And it's like, it's not good and it can cause scarring. And I'm sure there are other people out there who do the same thing.
Oh, there are tons of other people out there that pick.
And it's not good. And, you know, Simon is really good at extractions. Like he has like a whole kit.
Okay.
And he's very precise. So I should just let him do it, but I don't all the time. So I'm like secretly he goes, don't pick your face. And I go in the bathroom and I'm like, and then I come out and I'm like bleat. I'm like,
you're literally
stigmata.
The girl from like the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark that had like a spider crawl out of her fucking face.
So scary.
Did you see that movie ever, by the way?
No.
Oh, I wanted to
it
see
bad.
It kind of looks scary. I might watch it.
The stories were so, like, the books were truly so bone-chilling to me that I don't think anything can replicate that.
They're pretty fucked up, but, like, the movie kind of looks like it might bring that energy somewhat. I need some Scary Stories and the
like,
Dark Heads to weigh in and tell me if I should watch it. Yay or nay?
I was excited because I knew Guillermo del Toro was involved in it, and I was excited, but I feel like they made it look like, Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, like if you're going to do it, do like a truly scary vignette of like nightmare stories I don't want to see kids like being like plucky. I'm so sick. I'm ready for this trend of like plucky children uncovering something supernatural together. I'm so over it.
Yeah. End it.
Between fucking Millie Bobby Brown and the new It movies. Like I can't.
Also, really, It too got away with true murder because that was one of the worst fucking movies I've ever fucking seen in my life.
You told me about it.
And
there's like
no
a
one
bashing,
like,
right?
Justice, oh, there's like a total gay bashing, but like justice for me having to sit through that piece of trash movie and like no, and the world just like refusing to admit that that movie was true garbage.
I will not see it. I don't want to see Xavier Dolan get skull bashed.
No, it was so bad. And not, and like that was actually one of the better parts. So if that tells you anything, then you really need to like,
you love consider, to see it.
You love to see it.
But yeah, I've been,
I'm sick of kids. Because of the, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sick of like, yeah. That's how I speak when I like, when I get, when I like stammer a little, I'm like, the blurches. Nut.
Nut.
Nut. I think maybe just because of the mood of the world right now, I've been wanting to watch like apocalyptic movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's been fun. I watched this movie the other day that was actually really, it was on, I found it on demand. Last night we watched Overlord. With Wyatt Russell. Kurt Russell. Okay. Who's so,
I love Wyatt Russell.
He's such a stud. He really looks like Kurt. It's really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a World War II like zombie movie. And then I watched another zombie movie with these two. I think it was an indie movie. It's called The Battery. It's these two like no-name actors. It was really good. It was like these two friends who were like these like ex-baseball playing like kind of annoying bros who are traversing like the back roads of New England together while this zombie apocalypse is happening.
Cool.
And it's like them like not really liking each other and being like dicks to each other while this is all happening. It's good.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I watched In Fabric, which was so good. And I was telling Carrie that he needs to see it because it has a lot of like Suspiria energy to it. And there's like very witchy Suspiria-esque characters in it. And I think that it would speak to his soul.
Yeah. I like.
Plus, it's like a haunted dress. It's like a cursed dress. I've never really seen a movie about like a cursed dress. And it really like, soothes me. I want to see movies about, like, I'm yearning for just like dark, fucked up movies about cursed things that are beyond our control,
like a
dress or like a car or like I like ghosts, like type of things. I've never seen Christine, and I think I actually need to see that.
I'm like,
yeah,
preach. I haven't
girlfriend.
Seen it either.
Ooh, we should maybe do a watch party of it or something.
Yeah. House party.
House party.
House party. Yeah.
Yeah.
You went, Laura went, house party.
House party.
Yeah, I was so bummed last year though, because Pet Sematary sucked.
Pet Sematary, I hope that everyone involved with that movie got laid off, but I feel definitely didn't, because it was a box office success.
I was so bummed and I was offended.
You know what's awful and part of an awful, like an awful part of getting older?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you realize how many stupid fucking idiots are out there in the world. And it becomes, she is revealed over and over and more with
she
every
will be
year.
Revealed.
She will be revealed tonight was really in reference to like how many blithering idiots exist in the world. And there's
so
nothing you can do about it. And like anyone who liked Pet Sematary, I'm sorry, like you're a dum-dum. Sorry.
Yeah, it was
bad.
Anyone who was involved with Pet Sematary,
you're a fucking dum-dum too. Literally.
I was so psyched.
Yeah.
I was ready. I was like, oh, it's going to be like a real, like, true Stephen King homage, like a real, like, tour de force. Like, I was ready. John Lithgow was in it. And then at the end.
Also, like, you changing that little boy. The scariest part is that there's a toddler that's like the living dead toddler. It's not supposed to be like a creepy little girl. It's like we've seen that a million times. Like, it's fucking played. Yeah. I remember seeing the original Pet Sematary, which is like campy, but like amazing.
Scary.
And scared the shit out of me when I was little and I saw it. And that little Gage with his like fucking like scalpel just like slicing and dicing you.
That little
I was
kid
like,
from
get
Full House.
This kid away from me.
No, it's true. And it's like that was the horror of like the story is like the true nightmare of losing a baby and then having that baby become like a murderous demon. Like, that's, you can't not do that.
Yeah,
because it's not. And then in the story she was like, daddy, do you love me still? And he's like combing her hair. I'm like, oh
yeah,
stop,
you guys are sick for this.
Daddy
That's me.
Daddy.
But that's, and then at the end of that movie when like they all walk towards the kid and they're all like, we're about to fuck shit up as like a zombie family, I was like,
go
here's
fuck
where
yourselves.
I check out.
Yeah. Fuck all of you.
Fuck all of you.
Someone make a good, like Ari Aster, please, if you're out there, my life actually is in your hands at this moment.
I know.
I need whatever is next. Please, my king, Ari, hear my call, hear my prayers, and deliver me some more deliciously psychotic horror.
I really wish I'd never seen Midsommar.
I would love it.
Watch it again.
Yeah.
For the first time.
I was saying, I think somewhere else, like, I wish that someone would just like punch me in the dome in just the right spot to give me temporary amnesia so I could forget all of Sopranos and then rewatch it all. Cause that's what I did around this time last year. And it was, for the first time, it was so life affirming.
Oh, you know what's a really good kind of Ari Aster-esque, not as like insane, but truly scary, is It Comes at Night.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. I liked it. Didn't love it.
I was really freaked out by it.
It could be a good rewatch. That's also kind of like a viral scare movie.
Well, it's like a apocalyptic plague has forced a family to be isolated.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that actually was good. Maybe I'll rewatch it because that was one maybe that I got too hyped for, and then by the time I saw it in theaters, it was just like my expectations were so different.
Well, he's responsible for my favorite horror movie, Creesha.
Oh god, Creesha is so good. That's actually on demand now, I think, on like Hulu or Cinemax or Amazon Prime or somewhere. But if you are curious, go watch that. It's a good quarantine.
I can't recommend it enough.
Chill.
She tweeted at me once.
Ugh, live for her.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of women I live for.
Speaking of horror.
Speaking of profound horror.
God,
the horror of this episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey begins with horror because we have to watch Rich eat soup. Watching anyone eat and slurp soup is a punishment.
Is a no including, for me.
And that's including me. Like, I think I sometimes am like, can I faint from hearing myself eat soup?
Oh yeah. I was on a Zoom this past weekend, like someone's birthday Zoom, and I had Chinese food delivered, and I was like had to mute myself and then just ate soup like out of frame. Like, I would lean down and you wouldn't see the soup like touch my mouth, and then I was like, this is weird, but I'm doing what I have to do and being a good citizen to the people on this Zoom with me.
No, you're, it's, eating soup is truly,
you shouldn't do it on camera.
It's like eating a banana in public.
Mm-hmm. You're always gonna look like you're giving a blowj.
Yeah, and
like,
eating soup,
there's
you're always
no way to not be sexualized when eating a banana. That's just the way it is.
And eating soup in front of people is just harrowing.
Mm-hmm.
So we open up with Kathy's just cooking up a storm.
Also, though, Kathy's wispy bangs distracted me from any soup eating, and I truly was just, like, trying to wrap my head around her wispy bangs. She looked like Robert Smith.
She did. She looks super goth.
There's one point where there's just one wisp of a bang, like a pointy, singular bang, just down the middle of her forehead, and I was like, this is an avant-garde look that you're serving right now.
Kathy loved, like, she called it the downtown.
The downtown.
In, like, the 80s. She loved, like, new wave.
Yeah.
She used to, like, go into the city.
She's still rocking that kind of style. It's, like, really, like, nouveau. It's, like, I like when a housewife style merges with some sort of, like, high fashion, high concept look from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And creates
She's
own
so
brand.
Pretty.
Yeah, she's stunning. Also, it's the New Jersey looks so beautiful, like just the shots establishing shots of Jersey. I felt like wistful, like my soul yearned to be there. I was like, please God, if you exist, let me find some prince that will whisk me away to a mansion in New Jersey, give me a white Range Rover, and I just get my nails done and like tool around all day in the range.
It is... I mean, I'm my parents are moving back to South Jersey where I'm from, and like hopefully whenever this shit's over. So I'm so happy that my home base will be New Jersey again.
Eternal fall. Like all I want to do is live
golden,
in New Jersey.
New Jersey in the fall is amazing. And
I know we talked
like,
about it last episode, but it is just
it's just amber light at all times.
It looks,
you know,
cozy.
It's a really good show that captures Jersey. Pete and Pete.
Did that take place in New Jersey? It did. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah, that was a great show.
Or it was filmed there, but it was filmed in North Jersey. It's so, but yeah, it looks real. Everything looks really just like brisk and gold right now on the show.
And the leaves are so pretty. And it's like that kind of fall where it's like sunny and beautiful outside, but there's such a chill in the air and it's freezing, but you're just like and it's like gearing up, it's right before Thanksgiving and Christmas, which is such a cozy time of year generally, and like I just like, but like you need to be in a mansion, it's not gonna work in an apartment. It really needs
you have to
be in like a really grotesque mansion filled to the brim with like huge pillows.
Yeah, you have to have
marble
a good
floors.
A giant home with a banister and a great room.
Yeah.
So Kathy's explaining to Rich her confrontation with Teresa at the posh show, and he's just like slurping away, slurp, slurp, slurp. And Kathy's also wearing black nail polish.
Goth. She is Robert Smith.
Mm-hmm. You're
She's
right.
Like, whenever I'm alone with you, you make me feel like I am whole again.
And then she goes,
whenever I'm alone with
you. And then she like sings that when she's in the shower or like when she's putting on like her, she has like giant like old vials of like women's lotions.
She's
always lotioning up her elbow.
She powders her face super white.
Whenever I'm alone with you.
And
he's like, Kathy, what are you saying?
It's like, do, that's her like forever song.
I love this song
in a Robert Smith cover band.
She plays in the local pubs.
Yeah,
I love this song.
I love
so
this
she's
song.
Pissed. She's like, Teresa is just like such a terrible cousin to me.
And
Rich is like, I hate her.
Yeah. And also, and it's like, Kathy, you were trying to start, you were starting shit. This was not like a nice conversation. It was like you wanted to insert yourself in the drama.
She also says that she's like really nervous now that Caroline is going to have her written off as a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich is like, oh, just let us see what you really like.
I love Rich. He loves his wife.
I do too. He worships his wife.
He worships
my
her.
Queen, he always says.
Teresa has a food photo shoot.
We cut to Teresa just stomping around New York City in the rain.
She goes, this rain. She's gone like the rain turns her, really ignites her Momo energy.
Mm-hmm.
I also love that this photo shoot has been happening without her there. So they're just like doing the job like without her guidance. They don't need her.
I was like, who's the daddy with the handlebar mustache? I was like, I hate those like mutton chop. Those little like, looks like the cook in Little Mermaid.
Like, truly, that kind of like pristinely groomed facial hair immediately lets me know that you are a red flag psychopath and I shan't be interacting with you for a second longer. I like I judge no one harsher than a man with like a waxed handlebar. Oh, get out of my sight.
Yeah, there's a place in West Hollywood on Santa Monica near that CVS in La Cienega that has, it's like a, some kind of men's steampunk themed men's like parlor of like salon.
Icaro.
Icaro.
Icaro, I'm warning steampunk? You. I'm warning you, Icaro.
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 You keep that steampunk away from me, Icaro. Teresa just burst through. That guy's the photographer. He's like, okay, come over here and look what we're doing. They're styling all the food.
For her second cookbook.
Stylist.
She says Skinny Italian has been on the bestseller list for 9 weeks, which is huge.
Yeah.
That's
like number one.
That's a raging success. Yeah. That's like,
yeah.
You have a hit cookbook on your hands.
She made a ton of money.
Yeah. Which all probably went to the IRS directly. Yeah,
or legal fees.
Yeah. Like, didn't even pass into her bank account, just floated on through to like the millions of other debts that she had. But like, she's writing a second cookbook called Fabulicious.
She's like, you know, it's fabulous. And then my kids say the food's delicious. So I just put them together. Fabulicious.
She goes, fabulicious. Like with her hands under her chin.
And then she goes, she starts, everyone fucking hates her immediately. She starts redirecting all the like food styling. She's like, I think there should be more parsley in there.
Like, I think that those are the finished photos. Like, I think that like one by one, as they knock out the photos, they're putting the finished ones on there, which is like, if she wanted more parsley, she probably should have been at the shoot. And it seems like the shoot's been going for like 2 or 3 hours and she's just now showing up. So she goes, when I make them, they're more browner, to like a bunch of chicken wings. She goes, I like more sauce on them. Who likes a meatball without sauce? And then the guy goes, well, they're Joe's juicy meatballs.
And then she goes, she starts lecturing them about, she says ingredients.
She's chatting with like two randoms that truly don't understand her and like are.
They look at her and.
They're in a place of why.
Yeah. And the women also look at her and like are clearly making fun of her.
Yeah, like they are truly speaking different languages at this point. She goes, I saw these ingredients as. When I make the recipes, and sometimes there's ingredients I don't even like cumin. What is that?
Cumin. And the guy goes, cumin.
Yeah, the like chef that is hired to do this hell job. And I actually wrote, fuck this hater chef. I was like, you're actually like very lucky to have this job right now.
Yeah,
you smug piece of shit. Get out of this kitchen.
You elitist. You coastal
elitist. You fucking coastal elite. Like,
don't shame her.
Don't shame her. You're literally a
English
hater.
Is her second language.
Yeah, she's bilingual. What are you bringing to the table?
Yeah.
You're literally hired to do Teresa's cookbook photography, like food styling.
Carisha.
Carisha Giudice.
Ingredients is not.
It's not a word. No.
Yeah.
Ingredients is the plural of ingredient.
Ingredients. I love that.
I spelled ingredients and like came up with the spelling of it. It's kind of a nice word. Cumin? Like cumin. I don't like that.
Cumin.
Like cumin. What do you say?
Teresa's also wearing like velvet stilettos. Little felt booties. Clip clop, clip clop.
She's
so she
stomping
starts,
around
like,
in like this weird gray outfit too.
Yeah. With like, she has like off the shoulder. Something
I
on, and then
never understood.
She gets
a
phone call from
Jacket.
Juicy Joe calls her, and he tells her that he ran into Joe Gorga at the gym, like they were passing ships.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, "What'd you say? Did you give him a hug for me? Did you tell him his sister loves him?" And he goes, "I don't know, Tree. I don't love him." she goes, "You love him."
Tree trying to be like fake and pretending that she's like all love and light for her brother that she literally like ignited a brawl with mere days ago. Like whenever the cameras are on, like she tries to be like pretend she's this like loving sister, but after you chip away at the facade, it all cracks. Hate. And she's like, "Fuck him. He started it. His wife's a whore." Like it's like doesn't take much to chip away that like fakeness. But I love her like playing. Uh-huh. Also, her BlackBerry is the shining co-star of this episode.
I know. It's a character.
The sparkly BlackBerry.
She goes, I just love that. She goes, "Oh, but you love him, Joe." And he goes, "I don't love him, Tree."
I don't love him, Tree.
Joe is, he's so like deeply like homophobic and like has such masculinity issues that he can't like just say he loves his brother.
No.
His brother-in-law. Like it's, he's, someone also, someone pitched a theory that he and Joe Gorga experimented as kids.
They definitely touched each other's peepees. I wrote down Joe and Joe at the gym is a porn in the making.
Yeah. Joe Giudice was like, he's like, I you know, he probably goes in the locker room and walks around naked. I don't do that.
Yeah, he's like, there's something weird because they've also all known each other since they were children.
Yeah, they like we're from the same village.
They're villagers.
They are. They're like,
they are
mountain
literally
people. Oh my
M.
God.
Night Shyamalan's The Village.
Speaking of Italian mountains, Dragonona author Tommy DiPaola died yesterday.
Honestly,
I was so bummed.
I've never been more bummed in my life.
He didn't have COVID. I think he had a head injury, but he died. He was only in his 70s. He wasn't that old.
And Stregonona, ever since we started doing Tough Sicilian Bitches, it brought back all my Stregonona love. And then I also now only associate Stregonona with Gia. And then every time I see a Stregonona title, I just think of Gia. But the thing that's been recurring in my head that I think about almost on a daily basis is this Stregonona book cover where it says Stregonona does it again. Which is the best title for any book.
She did do it again.
Stregonona does it again. She's always doing it. You love to see it.
I wrote a tribute to her on Twitter. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, read.
"A mountain witch who comforted gay children everywhere with pasta. Thank you for sharing her with us." And then I wrote, "I knew Stregonona served an ancient mother, fearsome and righteous, terrible and kind. She showed Strega the future in pasta and steaming water. Strega had no time for us, but she gave us her time anyway. Thank you, Strega."
You fully channeled SJP's energy with that.
I know.
One. That is really good. Brava.
She did comfort children, though.
She did. She was a comforting Italian kitchen witch. What's not to love?
Yeah. Love her. Anyway, RIP Tommy DiPaola, RIP Strega.
RIP. Stregonona lives forever. Tommy, your time was up, I guess. Sorry. I'm sad.
Strega came. Strega was like, "Come on, Tommy.
Tommy, please, you can pull out of this." She came to him in a vision. She said, "Tommy, please, I would do anything I could to save you."
I'll come, Tommy.
I'll join you in the afterlife. You'll see me.
Yeah. "You come walk up the hill and I'll have a bowl of spaghetti waiting for you.
I'll cook the pasta sausage just how you like it."
Last season when Caroline and Teresa went into that stranger's home and just ate pasta that was on their stove, that was Stregonona.
She had whipped up a magical vat of pasta and they wandered into
her house.
How amazing
did that look?
That I'm ready. I'm like, I fully am like, where am I going to relocate to once this hell is over? And I'm truly like, I need to take my son and move to Italy. Like, that's it for me. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the fuck out.
Well,
Stregonona.
Italy might not be.
Italy could be cool. I think they'll bounce back.
No, they will. They will. Just not right now. You shouldn't go.
No, I mean, I'm not saying right now. I'm saying like when I'm like, let's give it some time.
Yeah. I want you to have like a moment where you're like, just like, just walking around like a mountain town one day, and you just like, you're like, I'm hungry, and you just like stumble into a literal stranger's open home with the, their doors are open. Just sit down on the table and throw the pot and take the pasta out, and they just are eating pasta together.
Truly, that is how I believe Italy is. I really think it's like you drive, you rent like a tiny Fiat and you drive it like on a dusty road, and then you just like drive it to a grandma's house, and then she's like, I come in and take the mozzarella, and then you just like eat mozzarella and like
pass out.
Yeah, pass out, and then they like wake you up by like lightly fanning you, and they're like, ah, do you want a glass of vino? And like you just like make friends. Like that's how Italians are. I'm fully in my soul. I'm like, I can't wait to go just like wander into random Italians' houses.
Yeah.
I hope they're ready for me. And Tony, I think Tony will be a huge hit.
He will be.
Abroad. Yeah.
It's like, you know, that scene in Call Me By Your Name where they go to that old lady's house, like on this, they pass by and they go, can we have some water? And she goes, yes. And then she goes in the house and just gives them water and then they leave.
Yes. That is.
She's outside peeling. She's outside peeling beans, green beans, sees them, goes inside. She's sitting in a chair on a dirt road, pours them water, and then they move on. And she's like, bye.
That's Italy for you.
And then, of course, Eat, Pray, Love, when Julia Roberts cooks a turkey for the Italians, and then they all pass out and wake up at 5 a.m. to eat it.
I know. I love the passing out. Like, that doesn't happen like that, really.
No. Oh, my God. Anyway. God.
Anyways. Meanwhile. So Joe keeps, like, talking shit, and you can tell Teresa's kind of horrified that it's, like, that it's being captured on camera, and then the phone starts to phase out, and she goes, darn phone, and then, like, hangs up.
She takes out, like, it's like in The Parent Trap, and she takes out, like, a crinkling candy wrapper and goes, oh, I can't hear you.
I'm in the canyon, bye. Yeah, it's, like, a true, I love, darn phone.
The darn phone.
Loud, like awkwardly. What? They're like, okay.
Then we cut to the Gorga mansion, and Melissa's like busy making dinner, and Joe Gorga comes home, and he's like punishing her.
He's like, because fully she pissed off
because she didn't put out for him.
Because she came home from the fucking posh fashion show and didn't like lay there and let him like rabbit fuck her for like 5 minutes, and now he's like just withholding any affection from her.
He's like gas. He's like I've got poison in me.
He's wearing an Old Navy fleece, which was wild to see, and he goes, you should be waking up for me. Take a shot of espresso. You know how much stress I got in my body? Stress will kill a man. I got poison running through my veins. It's been 5 days.
She goes, it's been four
days.
He goes, splash some water on your face. And then he goes, he talks about his poison a lot. And it always makes me go, oh, whenever he does it. Just his hot loads. That's what his poison is.
His veins like slowly filling up from like toe to head, of just like his veins becoming like filled with poisonous cum. Ugh. Like he's just like poison in my vein. It's like, go jerk off then. Like no one is like stopping you from like skeet blasting into a fucking Kleenex.
I don't think Joe Gorga has ever masturbated in his life.
He's taught that that's sinful.
It's sinful, and he only fucks.
But also, like, horny Joe Gorga seems like a taker, not a giver.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like this type of sex, like, if you go on, like, a 4-day cool-off period and then you have sex with him, he's gonna have to, like, rabbit hump you for the first couple times before he feels like making sure that you get pleasure out of the situation.
No. When he's in this poison mode, you're a hole to him.
You are literally just a cum dumpster. You lay there and pray for it to be over soon.
Yeah.
You could probably just be on your phone and do emails while he like humps your leg.
She calls him a bitch.
He's being a bitch. I was like, horny Joe, when a guy is that horned up, I don't know if, like, I feel like gay men probably have a bit of a different sexual like vibe than this, but this feels very like straight hetero hell to me. Is like when you're dating a guy and like he's so horny and he's just always being like, come on, come on. There's literally nothing more horrible than that.
And when unattractive.
You're just like, yeah, when you're just truly like not in the mood to have sex and someone's like pawing at you and like begging you to like, literally they're not begging to like let you come. They're literally begging to just like hump you. It's like, get the fuck away from me.
I know. She's like, I'm taking care of her children. I just made dinner.
She's literally like doing every job in the household, and he's like mad at her because she didn't also put out in addition to doing every other thing in their house.
Now I'm just imagining like cum like just oozing out of his ears.
The poison.
It also makes him deeply unattractive to me.
If you say you have poison in your body and then also in that same breath you're like, but let's fuck, I'm like, no, like stop talking about the poison.
Now get your fucking poison cum away from me.
Yeah, why don't you
get your
also
poisonous hot cum?
Why don't you do a dish? Do a couple dishes.
Why don't you just go jerk off in your closet upstairs?
Yeah, literally like go like stick
hump
your
a pillow.
Dick, yeah, go hump a pillow or stick your dick into like a pie or something. Like literally do anything, but get away from me. I am
get
not
the fuck
answer
away
to
from
this.
Me.
Why would I want to fuck someone like that?
No,
does that happen with gay relationships? Like, I feel like it doesn't. Not like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you're not
like
always.
Every couple is going to have moments where like one person's hornier than the other.
Yeah, it's not like a fuck fest 24/7. Like, you're not like fucking, like, some weeks it's more sex than the next or the last, but. It feels pretty normal.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, there are periods where one person might be more into it on the norm than the other person, but like, it's not like we're not like pawing at each other.
I just feel like,
you know,
yeah, I just feel that like feels gay very, men don't that feels have very that, that paw energy.
No, because
it's either like you'll fuck each other, you'll jerk off, or you'll go fuck someone else. And it's like problem solved.
Go on Grindr and like sex someone and then get it done.
FaceTime fuck. You have like literally 1,000 solves for the age old problem of I'm horny. Why
but,
is it
but
that,
in
like,
these in these restricted het relationships, the guy if the guy like Joe is like super sexual and he feels like his only outlet is literally his wife and that she becomes not a human to him but like a
a receptacle for his
a
poison
receptacle.
Cum. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nightmare.
Just
it's
a
kind
literal
of
fleshlight to get the poison out of the poison cum out of his body. That's like what you're telling me. I was like so offended by this whole thing.
I was
like,
too.
This is so gross.
It was really gross.
It was gross.
Also, does he say at one point, oh, wait, no, that's later.
I think it's also, like, maybe in some, like, very Christian relationships, it's, like, the wife is there to serve the husband, and that includes, like, being a cum dumpster. But, like, I'm here to tell you that Jesus, like, doesn't want you to be a cum dumpster.
Jesus
would like it if you both come. Like, I'm telling
Jesus
you
doesn't want
straight
you, Jesus
up.
Doesn't want you to be a fleshlight.
Jesus never intended for a woman to be a fleshlight. That's
you're
why
fleshlights
were invented, because fleshlights are the new fleshlights. Recently, Kristen Doty just discovered what fleshlights were. Like, she somehow, like, never knew what a fleshlight was. And I think it was Chrissy Milazzo who texted me a screenshot of Kristen Doty on Instagram stories. Was like, is this real? Have you guys heard of this? With like pictures of fleshlights? And I was like, Doty, where have you been, my queen?
Yeah. Oh my God.
But like,
there's something kind of innocent about her.
Yeah, but also she's like the same person that had Carter, like a box of Carter's sex toys. So I'm like, how are you familiar with like, how are you having a box of sex toys and not knowing what a fleshlight is? Like, something ain't right.
Maybe it's an act.
It's just like,
anyway,
boy. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry, that was just a
sidebar. No. It's so weird. We cut back to Jacqueline racing down a rainy country road in her white Range, and you hear a clap of thunder, and then you see her arrive at this store called The Craft, which is it's a psychic place, and her psychic is named Tia Bell, who looks like a New Jersey version of Leah Remini.
Tia is a true queen.
Mm-hmm. The Craft is open, by the way. I looked it up.
Oh my God, it's open through COVID?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, should we call?
Oh, it's closed right now.
Oh.
Offers, hours, or services may defer due to COVID-19.
I wonder if Woodland we could Park. Get a reading from Tia Bell. I'm gonna look into this and see if we can get a reading.
Let's have Tia Bell on the pod.
We should have her on the pod.
Yeah.
And do like a reading. Bell,
yeah. Tia Bell used to be... She used to be a police detective.
That's amazing.
Tia is currently 50 years old and began to understand that she was different from the other girls around age 3. Like Haley Joel Osment in The Sixth Sense, she began to receive visitation from diseased people. According to Tia, she spent a great deal of her early childhood trying to figure out why she was chosen.
God, that's fucking cool.
Right?
I love, too, that she is like medium before medium.
She had she also had a reality show in 2013.
What was it called and where was it?
Like Tia's World or something.
That's probably why she was... Oh, this wasn't a... Was this in 2013?
This was like 2011.
Okay.
She looks like JWoww.
She's hot. She looks like a JWoww Lisa Vanderpump hybrid.
Leah Remini. Mm-hmm. So Jacqueline's like, I was just going to Tia because some of the other girls were going. And I was a little skeptical, but now I believe.
I'm obsessed with Tia. We've got to get her.
Yeah. She calls Ashley, Ashley.
She goes, there's a weakness coming through with Ashley. An emotional weakness. She's literally also her tarot card.
She goes, what's going on with Ashley? Her tarot cards are just regular cards.
Her tarot cards are like playing cards.
I know. I love watching her deal them, though.
Yeah. And she goes, have you been to Teresa's house recently? There's a lot of negative energy in there. She needs to sage.
Teresa needs to sage. And then in the background,
she's got daggers coming from her all over.
She's got daggers coming. Tia also has a giant jester mask in the background on the wall.
Yeah. She features like Harlequin art. Mask. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
I'm truly horrified at Harlequin art, but I am in need of Tia's services.
Alludes to Teresa. Yeah. She alludes to Teresa and Joe having some like really bad times ahead of them. And I think she's talking about their jail time.
Yeah, she absolutely is.
What's going on with Ashley?
What's going on with Ashley? She is an emotional weakness.
I just loved watching her. She was like, sit down. I just love watching her. Like, I realized that I love, because on 90 Day Fiancé, there's a lot of people who, there's a lot of moments where they go wedding dress shopping. And like, a lot of the people are like these small town American, you know, bridal store owners. And they're like, and I love watching people like do things.
Yeah.
It's like ASMR to me. Like, I love watching like a retail person, like take someone to the, you know, being like, let's put you back there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know what I'm talking about? It's like there's something ASMR, and then the way Tia was like, come sit down.
There's something nice about just watching people do their jobs.
Yeah.
But is like that weird? No, that's not weird. It's not like an office job. It needs to be like specifically like a small business owner or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Just being so like keeping it professional.
Mm-hmm.
So she tells, she's basically like, Ashley is backed and you need to stop giving in to her.
Yeah. And Jacqueline's like,
I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
I want to go to the crafts so bad.
I know. I just want to buy a crystal from the craft. We have to add that to our New Jersey to-do list.
Mm-hmm. I just love the clap of thunder as she's driving down like a white picket fence road.
The pouring rain, the drama. Yeah.
So then we cut to the Manzo clan. Moving day with Albie and Chris. They're moving into their like Hoboken abode. and Caroline is directing them in the U-Haul.
It's amazing. I love her U-Haul energy.
I wrote Caroline would be so good being one of the people directing planes on the tarmac.
Yeah, she would thrive in a plane directing position. She goes, as they're unpacking everything, she goes, can we get that mattress off the floor before I have a stroke?
Can we get that? She's also at one point just standing on like a little stool, just like directing everyone.
Mm-hmm. She sits on like a desk that's in the garage. She goes, what? Jacqueline, what am I going to carry? A plant?
Yeah. Jacqueline's helping.
Jacqueline like donated a couch to them. That's nice. She like gave them a leather couch. That shit ain't cheap.
No, she's a good aunt.
She got them a stripper pole.
She goes, I'm a good aunt, huh? I'm like,
God, cool aunt.
That Vegas showing.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, they're bringing in a giant like bordello chair.
Yeah, their decor is questionable. It's all like the old decor of the family.
Yeah.
Or just like stuff that fell off a truck somewhere.
Caroline is at one point is complaining about her pink feather boa. She's like, I'm choking in this thing.
This thing's going to scratch me.
And then they sit down to order.
She's carrying the stripper pole into their apartment with a feather boa around her. She loves it.
This thing's going to scratch me. At one point, they order pizza. They're all hanging out. At one point, Greg comes in, their friend Greg, who's like a loller.
Is this Greg Bennett?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's his name, Greg?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. I thought it was a different Greg. He looked different from last season.
Yeah, he rolls in. He's going to be living with them.
With his dog, Dolores.
Dolores. They all
she's
go,
scared.
Hi, Dolores. She's scared. Caroline goes, oh, she's scared. And then she goes, you're moving in here? And he goes, yeah, I'm moving in here. And she goes, take off your glasses. Let me see your eyes. And he takes them off. He goes, I'm moving in here. The only thing I didn't like was that they're like, we call him Mister. He's a man sister. I'm like, okay.
We get it. You hate gay people.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Hello.
Oh, there we are. You froze for a sec.
There we are.
There we are.
I just said I didn't like how they referred to him as their man sister.
Oh yeah, and then I said, "We get it. You hate gay people." And then it froze, and I was like, "Oh man, did I piss Carrie off?"
I'm leaving. I'm checking this out.
And that's where I draw the line. Goodbye.
And that's where I draw the line. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Good riddance, and good luck with your projects.
Please. Oh wait, your video the other day where you were like, "This is how I talk to Tony now."
That's all. Like, I talk to him in only accents. I'm literally learning only like different dialects during this time of isolation and perfecting my proper English accent.
It's more of a transatlantic accent.
It's a little bit of both, but a British person DM'd me and she was like, "I am from the UK and your accent is amazing." So then I was like, "Well, I've done it again. Straganona does it again."
Sit down.
Sit down, sir, please. Please, you must sit down. Please, you're the man of the house. What am I to do in a crisis? If you won't sit...
You're the man of the house.
You're the man of the house. If I can't depend on you, I'm always lost. I've also rewatched Milo and Otis recently, which is a really good, if you're into like British accents, because is it Dudley Moore or whoever the fuck does those accents, and he's so good and expressive, but all the different voices he does for like farm animals, that really informed like a lot of my childhood.
I'll watch it again.
Oh my god, it's a really good COVID watch. It's so soothing. It just is like all is right in the world. Until you start Dudley thinking Moore. About the animal abuse that probably went into filming that movie, so just try not to think about any of that and then just watch it. Also, one of my brothers is like fluent in Japanese, and so he watches like the Japanese version of all sorts of movies. And Milo and Otis was a Japanese production company or a Japanese production, and there's a Japanese version that apparently is like much darker than like the English speaking version. And Damn. He said it's like very avant garde and like sad. And I was like, yes,
It's like Ringu.
This is Ringu. Milo and Ringu. It's literally just Milo and the girl from The Ring palling around like a farm.
Milo and Samara.
It's Milo.
Oh my god, Samara. Milo and Ringu.
Milo and Ringu is literally
he's like he wants to like go help like
he's
a
like, come on,
van
Samara.
Full of orphans like
yeah.
careening off a bridge, and she's like,
he Milo like walks up to a well and like Ringo Samara comes out and he's like, oh, you're crazy, Samara, come on now, let's go to the river, I'm Milo. He's like everything goes, he runs and Samara just like Ringo crawls.
Yeah,
you're crazy. And he's then like, at the end when they all have babies, he like has a lot of his cat babies and then Samara like gives birth to like a literal pack of demons.
She gives birth to like a jackal. He's like, oh, that doesn't seem right.
A jackal. And like you get near him and he's like and Milo's like, oh, bit of an attitude on him then.
Oh, sorry.
This one. Oh, sorry. I'm Milo. Sorry.
Oh, I'm just going about here. I'll go stand over here. And he's like, they're like, he's like, come on, let's go start up on an adventure of a lifetime. And then he's like, starts skipping away. And then he looks back and Samara is just crawling. And he's like, oh.
You're a bit slow. Bit slow, are you? Well, I'll run suckers around you. He like runs circles around her. They like interact with like baby chickens. There's one part where like a mother hen wants you to watch like the chicken's egg. And like Milo is like watching dutifully. And then like Samara just like gobbles the egg whole. Yeah. Like, oh, you're hungry.
Oh, yeah. Because you're very hungry.
Seems like a mistake. Oh. You're supposed to watch it. But...
And the hen comes back and she's like, what the fuck? And then Samara just bites her head off.
Yeah, she just rips her fucking head off and blood like splatters everywhere in the barn across all the other animals' faces that are watching and then in Milo's face. And then they just move on. There's no...
They don't even speak of it.
No. They don't ever speak of the misunderstanding in the barn.
No.
I love Milo and Ringu.
Me too. There's this one shot of Albie just devouring pizza.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's like watching someone eat a banana. It's the same way.
It's a big, thick slice too.
Yeah.
Like the way he has to hold it is as though he's like caressing a lover.
He's like,
cause it's not like, you know, those thin slices of pizza, which are like totally unsexual to eat. A thick, like rotund slice of pizza. It's pornographic.
It fucks. Caroline's like, oh, it's so hard for me to know all my babies are out of the house. And Lauren goes, Mom, I still live with you.
And she
backtracks and she goes, oh, I just mean that someday you're not going to live with me when Vito whisks you away.
She goes, one day I'm going to meet Vito and I are going to get engaged. Then I'm going to move out. And then Albie is like, you're going to get engaged? I literally saw that man eat chips off his tummy. Okay.
I was like, I've done that.
Yeah, who hasn't?
Yeah. Let he who's eaten Mike and Ike's off, not eaten Mike and Ike's off his navel, cast the first stone. I love that. Mom, I still live with you.
I'm
here.
She gets no respect.
No, they all troll her. Caroline pretends to defend her, but she doesn't.
No, she loves to see it. She loves having like a female sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. To her,
no
like,
woman can, yes, like, eclipse. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Eclipse, like, Carolyn's importance in the family.
She's, like, cool. Like, she's, like, wants to be popular with her kids.
Yeah. She's, like, queen bee.
Yeah.
That's why she, like, wears the feather boa and, like, carries the stripper pole.
Yeah. I'm the cool mom.
I'm cool. What am I going to carry? A plant?
What are we going to carry? A plant?
Can we get that mattress off the floor before I have a stroke?
Before I have a heart stroke?
That's how I felt, too. Like, if your mattress touches the ground, burn it. Truly.
I know. 1 second rule.
Mm-hmm.
Rule. By the way, Jacqueline's in every scene.
Jacqueline's working hard.
Her adorable parents are staying with them.
Okay, her parents are sweeties. Her dad is so... like an angel man.
She sits down with him and she goes, oh, Dad, how much karma did I bring onto myself? And he's like,
well, where do I begin? He like takes like a huge leather-bound book that's like 5,000 pages and like opens it up to like chapter one.
Yeah. She's continuing to have a hell of a time with Ashley. Ashley's talking to her brother. So Ashley has like 5 half brothers in Texas. And she's like talking on the phone to one of them. And she's like, oh, Alden.
How then? How are you?
And then you know that she's doing it loudly and sweetly to piss Jacqueline off.
Yeah, and to like get sympathy on camera. But also,
Oh, Alden, wait. Wait, Alden.
I love that Alden hangs up on her at the end, too.
Yeah, she goes, Ashley goes, Ashley goes,
I like miss all my brother's football games and like,
sorry. It's hard.
All right.
Start dabbing her. I'm like, oh my God.
She and Jacqueline pull the same exact shit.
Mm-hmm.
But Jacqueline, it's revealed. She is revealed that she and her first husband got married at 17. And then by the time she was 20, they had Ashley, but separated when Ashley was just a mere 17 months old.
And the father reveals that Jacqueline threw all of his clothes out of the window. Did like a waiting for exhale moment.
Yeah. Like a get out. Right now.
Right now.
Also, then, Teresa wears heels around the house.
Yeah.
She like playfully swats, kicks her husband. Oh,
Jacqueline. Yeah, Jacqueline.
Yeah, Jacqueline.
Like Teresa's in the scene.
Sorry, but
yeah,
Teresa. Jacqueline wears heels.
To wear heels and kick her, like, crunch her little legs up and put her heels on couches. I'm like, you're crazy for that.
That's
wrong. Uh-uh. That something ain't right.
It's not godly.
But
and Chris
I,
just goes, sorry, what?
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, I ended up having, like, a lot of empathy for Ashley in the scene, because the way Jacqueline's dad breaks it down is very much like, oh, Ashley, like, doesn't have a family. Like, she literally is just, like, a child. She's like a ship without an anchor. Jacqueline started a new family. Her biological father started his new family. And then Ashley is just, like, there in the middle.
And that's why Jacqueline can't say no to her fully, because she knows
it's her
that
fault. Yeah, it's partially her fault.
Ashley is as my mom would say, she has no compass.
Stragonona does it again,
right? So Ashley is just going, Alden,
wait, don't hang up, Alden.
That is, I don't even know if that's his name, Aiden.
It seems right, Alden.
Alden. And then Chris at one point goes, maybe we should kick her out.
He goes, seems like a lot of work. Maybe we should just throw her out. And then Jacqueline playfully kicks him with her like 6-inch stiletto. I was like, what the fuck?
She's wearing stilettos around their house.
She's wearing like a peep toe stiletto.
Yes.
On a casual afternoon to like sit on the couch and gab with her dad. I was like, I have never in my life.
Skin tight jeans and peep toe stilettos.
There's nothing that's comfort about that cool outfit.
That is a look of, that's brutalist.
Yeah, that is brutalist. She's like fucking German for that shit.
She sleeps in peep toe.
She fucking sleeps, put on her bedtime heels and like squeezes
she sleeps in
her
feet.
She's
she sleeps in like straight skinny fit jeans and peep toed black like
there is nothing more uncomfortable than like a tight skinny jean that takes like a lot of like you have to be like and like plie to like get your black tight jeans on, and then you finally like button them up and they're like so sticky on you and you're just like ooh, and then you like squeeze your hooves into like a peep toe heel and like to like hobble out of wherever, like literally I'd rather die. And can you imagine just like lounging around the house, like kicking up your feet, putting your feet on the couch, like laying comfortable, like taking a nap on the couch. Like I've never felt 1 ounce of comfort.
No, Jacqueline's into it. Jacqueline, like that's Vegas. She's a Vegas girl through and through.
She loves to suffer.
She loves to like, she's putting on a show like at all times.
Dominatrix.
She clip-clops all over that house. She cleans in her heels.
Yeah.
She sleeps in them. She showers.
She fully puts on her shower heels. And then she slips. She's a heel for every occasion. A peep toe for every occasion.
She
puts on her rubber shower heels. And then clomps into the shower.
No, not even rubber. She puts plastic bags.
She puts on her Louboutins and cinches up a plastic bag around her ankles. And then tiptoes into the shower.
She takes a. She has bath heels.
Oh, she loves a bath heel.
She taken draws off the
bath. She draws the bath and then gets in. And then she goes, Chris, honey, come in. And then she makes Chris put her heels on as she's kicking her feet up out of the bubbles. And she goes, thank you. And then relaxes.
She has wet earth heels. where she just goes in the backyard and like cleans up shit. And it's like cold and soggy New Jersey morning.
Her gardening heels. She sinks literally. She's like walking on her heels because the stilettos just sink into the moist earth.
She has her snow heel.
She's gotten frostbite multiple times.
They're all peeped out. She has ice skating heels where she skates on frozen lakes. She just skates with little heels.
Literal peep toe platform Louboutins with a blade that mm-hmm. she got Chris to weld onto the bottom. No laces. And she just squeezes her little feet and she goes, I'm off. And then does like a full ice skating pirouette.
She also has beach heels.
Oh, she loves a beach heel. It takes her. When her family goes to the Jersey Shore and they go hit the beach, it takes her like 20 minutes to walk from the edge of the sand all the way down to where her family has set up because she just keeps falling into the sand. But she loves it. And they go, that's just Jacqueline.
She's knee deep in sand at one point.
She goes into the ocean. Hours.
By the time she gets there, she's like has a sunburn. She's missed like half the day.
She puts flippers. She has heels that also have flippers on them. And so
They're just straight heels.
She says, it's hard. You can't get any traction swimming around. She literally has almost drowned multiple times.
She has surfing heels. She surfs, fully surfs.
In a bodysuit, in a zip-up wetsuit, in a denim wetsuit with 8 inch
open-toed heels.
So hard. She's so hard to stand up and pop up on the surfboard. And then she's always like...
she also has roof heels.
For whenever she needs to get up on the roof.
No, she just goes up on the roof and clips clocks back and forth. She dances on the roof.
She prances under the full moon, and then she...
Those are 10-inch ones. And then Ashley just sits up in bed hearing clip, clop, clip,
she
clop, clip,
clops clop, over clip, Ashley's room and does moon dances in hopes that it will, like, cast a spell. She howls at the moon. She has hiking heels where she just goes
mountain
on
heels.
Long her mountain heels where she literally free climbs in
running heels
when she goes on a
oh my god those
started
are
training for the New York Marathon and her running heels and she got terrible shin splints.
Those her jogging heels are like 10-inch heels. She's so high. People see her and they're like, oh my god. They're like looking up at her.
She's never been able to run more than like 100 meters. But like...
But she's planning on running the marathon. That,
like one day she's like, little by little, if I can just like get a little better each day. It's not about the finish line. It's about like working hard.
Mm-hmm. She also has... She also has scaffolding heels.
Oh my god. Her heel collection knows no limits.
Some of them are like, how high is her highest pair?
Her highest heel is 24 inches high.
That literally looks like someone who rides a unicycle. Like one of those tall bikes.
Or like one of those stilt people that are at parties or something.
She's literally on stilts.
She literally has twin tower heels is what she calls her highest pair. And she wears them on 9/11. And they're literally the size of two skyscrapers. And she walks from New Jersey.
Oh, my God.
And crosses the river.
Oh, my God. She has river heels. Well, first she holds them and she has a pair of river heels where they're so tall that they actually sink into the river bed, mm-hmm. and they sink into the soil, the wet earth, and then they get like traction. So she walks across the river,
and it
looks like she's walking on water, and she calls it her river heels. And then once she gets into, you know, the battery of Lower Manhattan, she takes off her river heels.
She makes her way to ground zero.
She stakes them in the earth of the river soil, and then puts on her 9/11 heels.
Mm-hmm. And that's where she just stands at ground zero for the whole day. In total silence.
Yeah.
Just observing silence for all the lives.
And then at the end of her shift, she puts back on her river heels and she hobbles back over to New Jersey. And she has her highway heels, which are just little 2-inch kitten heels. And she trots down the highway in them.
Yeah, when she needs to walk really fast because sun is going down and she has to make dinner for the family. So then she puts on her highway heels and then she can walk at 60 miles an hour.
She's actually she's a speed walker. Guinness book.
Yeah.
Fastest ever run. Fastest highway run in kitten heels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to move on.
Okay, yeah. We're at Caroline's house now.
River heels. Lake heels.
Lake heels.
So Caroline is looking...
diving heels.
Totally. Mariana's trench heels. Challenger depth heels. Caroline looks super Suspiria.
Yeah, she's pulling a lot of looks this episode.
She looks chic in this moment.
Yeah.
She looks taut. Sorry, not taut.
Taut.
Well,
she's in her space, you know. She's like the queen of her domain.
Kathy comes over to pay Caroline a little visit. She comes bearing gifts. She brings her flowers. Caroline opens the door and gives her a very chilly greeting.
And then, like, her little Jack Russell dog is following her and kind of sniffs at Kathy. And Caroline goes, "That's my welcoming committee."
Yeah. And she goes, "Why don't you go sit over there? I'll go put these in. I'll go find a vase for these." And we just see her, like, saunter off in her huge fucking home. She's totally, like, power fucking Kathy in this moment.
It's a house flex for sure.
Yeah.
And then,
Kathy,
like,
down on the sofa, and she turns around and she sees some pictures of the Manzo family, and you just hear her go, "Let me see some of these pictures. They're so cute. They're so cute. The pictures are so cute."
Caroline comes with two big glasses of wine. I love, like, an afternoon chat over some wine.
I love hearing Caroline clack through the house. She's wearing heels too.
She's put on her house heels, and like, I love her little dog following her everywhere. He's a real Tony energy. And then he just like curls up on the chair as Caroline and Kathy sip on their vino.
Kathy like gulps and she's like, "So, it's like going to meet like the local like land baron."
Mm-hmm. She's basically the ring like a little bit.
Mm-hmm. She's like, she comes over to basically apologize for causing a little ruckus in the Manzo's place of work. And at one point, and after she just done her spiel, Caroline goes, "To be honest, I don't care." And Kathy's like, "Damn."
Yeah, Caroline's a fucking savage.
She goes, "I don't know you at all."
Damn.
I was like, and Kathy, ice cold. Kathy at one point just widens her eyes. She's like, "Jesus."
Yeah, Kathy's fucked up. You don't start shit in the brownstone and live to tell the tale.
No, Kathy knows
you're out. And also Caroline has definitely like tightened the belt as far as like who she cares about and who she doesn't. Like, she basically says at the end of this, she's like, "Teresa and I aren't soul sisters. We're not bosom buddies, but you don't come in my house and talk about my friends." But Caroline's like family only at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
she has no time for friends even.
No.
Also, she calls Melissa Alyssa.
I love that. A subtle shade.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good. If you ever want to like really ruin someone's day, just like call them the wrong version of their name to someone else.
happens to me once a week.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
So Kathy's like, Kathy walks home and she's like, well, that fucking sucked.
Yeah, Kathy's like, mission failed. I'm still hated.
Kathy, but she has such a good attitude. She kind of like laughs about it a little.
Yeah, she's like, well, what can I do? I got like, I mean, Kathy's new to the game. So like you see, it's interesting to see a newbie like try and get into the mix and then realize that they fucked up and then try and like get themselves out of the mix and realize that it's just going to be a long road of redemption that may never come.
Never.
And then I love this, the solve for it, all the drama, but we'll get to that in a little bit. Melissa gives her kids a bath on camera, which I was like, that's weird.
I said, I don't want to see kids taking baths anymore.
No, I think that that's like...
They did it before in the other episode.
We live in a society where you can't like be showing kids in a bath
on a television show. Joe is still pestering Melissa to fuck. And at one point he goes, our father was a very sexual man.
His father was a very sexual man. I made like a fist. I was like, okay.
His father was...
What does that have to do with you? What are you trying to say here, Joe?
His father fisted everyone in town.
My father was a very sexual man. Baby Joey is wearing a matching tracksuit to Joe Gorga. And I was like, I love this.
I love that. I mean, the kids are beautiful, but I'm like, I just don't want... This is too intimate.
No, it's weird. And so Melissa's like bathing the oldest daughter, Antonia, and who's the other son?
Anthony?
Tony?
I don't know.
And so she's bathing the two of them. I love it. Will Joe Gorga pitch in? Absolutely not. He's going to hold his little mini-me on his lap, like holding him like this and watching her. And he goes, tonight's the night. I'll be down. Like, what the fuck? Like, in front of her kids, he's like, tonight's the night. I'll be downstairs. You put the kids to bed. And it, like, it's like, why don't you, like, help out in this? You want to, like, accelerate this? Like, you could pitch in. And then, like, it cuts to Melissa in her talking head. And she's like, well, Antonia, like, gets scared of the monsters at night. So she likes to sleep in the bed. And Joe calls her a blocker because she does, like, block us sometimes. And then he's like, it's been 4 days. It's long enough. Tonight's the night.
Tonight's the night.
A threat. Like, tonight's the night. I know. Where I finally just, like, literally fuck you for 30 seconds, making this face. And then just, like, blast at you. Fun.
Not fulfilling you in any capacity.
Like, can you imagine? Like,
making you feel more desolate afterward.
Tonight's the night you like come harder than ever before, baby. Like, just no. Tonight's the night that I just like rail you.
Tonight's the night that you become a cum dumpster.
Yeah. Tonight's the night. The countdown is on. T-5 minutes.
And she's like washing her. She's like, oh fuck.
She's literally
it's like a Tuesday night.
She's like, I'm tired. She's like, please stop talking about that. Like, it's like in it, like the kids are going to catch on eventually. Kids aren't stupid.
Tonight's the night.
Tonight's the night. I'll be downstairs. You put the kids to bed. You give them the bath. You put the kids to bed. I love put three children to bed and then come fuck daddy.
Yeah.
No.
Horrid. Then we cut to the Wakilis and I wrote, the Wakilis are a good family.
They're a great family.
Kathy's making delicious looking pork chops.
As per usual. And she's like still irritated at all her faux pas. Like she's a really tough time on Real Housewives of New Jersey so far. And it's really getting under her skin. And even Rich like comes up to her and he's like, hey, baby, I want to show you something. And she's like, stop touching me. She's like, go over there. Like is doing
just
that thing.
Stay away from my stove.
Yeah. Where you just are like, don't come near me anymore. I need to like just do my cooking.
Richie and the kids bring her outside though, and I wrote, oh, it was like such a Jersey fall moment, like late early fall, like crickets chirping,
beautiful fall.
It was like such a beautiful fall night,
a chilly night.
Richie bought Kathy a white Mercedes to cheer her up. He goes, I love my wife. Teresa treats her like shit, and I love her.
He goes, my wife
makes
me
disgusted.
Because my wife is my princess, my queen, and at the end of the day, we do anything for each other. So
it makes me
car.
Disgusted when Teresa talks to my wife rude. It has a giant bow on it. The kids are like perfect. They're like so happy for their parents.
They love it. They're like, we'll cook while you guys ride around. I'm like, how did you make this nice family? Like where the kids are like yeah. sweet, like respectful sweeties.
How well, we hear we'll learn that the daughter went through a lot.
Okay, cool. Okay,
so I think it united
I need to like know, because I'm just like, when I see families like that, I go full how. I'm like, what? Like,
yeah, I know.
My family only speaks a language of like peak dysfunction 96% of the time.
I think most families do.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Thanks.
You're not alone. And then Kathy's like, get out of the car. I'm going in. So she takes it for a test drive around the neighborhood.
Yeah. It truly wraps up so nicely. All her stress. It's like fine now. Everything's going
to
be okay.
Then we cut to Kim D. She's treating the girls to a showroom in the city. So she's treating Caroline, Tree, and Jack to an extra special showcase. She's like, they helped me out with my showcase, so I'm going to treat them with one. And they come in, and she's already drinking a glass of wine. Caroline has her hair slicked the fuck back.
Caroline is literally LARPing as David Bowie. She put her
Caroline
city,
looks like a power lesbian.
Yeah, she put her city hair on for this excursion.
She was like a 90s power lesbian in the art world.
Yeah.
I was so into it.
Like the kind of like in Sex and the City when she goes, Charlotte, if you don't eat pussy, you're not a lesbian.
Yeah, exactly. She's in that club.
She's fully in that club.
I love that episode. And so they go in.
It's very sweet of you to let me bring my friends to your showroom.
It's very sweet of you, honey. Should we have some wine?
Tree comes stomping in. She goes, I used to work in fashion.
Yeah, Teresa used to work at Macy's. She was a buyer at Macy's.
Now I'm an author.
So she told me when I interviewed her.
I love that.
What fashionista. Happens in the scene?
They just kind of all talk about Teresa's journey with Joe Gorga, and Caroline has lost most of her patience with Tree, and she's like, Tree keeps interrupting her, and Caroline's like, you have to listen. I talk, then you listen, and then you can reply, but don't talk. And Teresa just keeps kind of interrupting her, and it's tense. And then they all end it. Kim D, Teresa reveals she's having a Friendsgiving, and then Kim D reveals that her sister, she's also on the outs with her sister, so Teresa invites her to come to her Friendsgiving.
Kim D goes, my sister too.
My sister too. She having Thanksgiving?
My sister too.
And she does two thumbs down.
Teresa goes, well, we're Italian, so we do lasagna.
Kim D goes, you don't do turkey?
Goes, oh, of course we do.
Of course we do the turkey. But the first course is lasagna.
My sister too.
My sister too. Then everyone's like, you should write Joe a letter.
Yeah. So... Teresa proceeds to completely take over Jacqueline's entire day.
But first, we have a brief. We go back to Joe and Melissa's horny house of sin, where Melissa's in the like hiding in the closet, just trying to like have a moment of respite from her fucking horned up husband. And Joe Gorga comes like barreling into the closet, and she's like, "Joe, which dress should I wear?" And he goes, "Hey, we got 5 minutes. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go." Like, it just is like humping her and like dragging her off caveman style to like finally have his fleshlight way with her.
His poison is like Hexus from the Fern Gully, like the swampy Tim Curry like pollution devil, and it like takes over his body and it's like speaking through him.
Yeah, his cum is literally the outsider.
Yeah. He is.
His poison cum turns him full outsider mode. And the only way, it's like he can't even jerk it out of himself. He literally just has to like fuck someone.
So Teresa goes over to Jacqueline's. Jack is like, you can tell Jacqueline's like not thrilled about this.
No. Also, she knows what she's in for. Sit with Teresa as Teresa writes something is truly like, I'm like, God bless her ghostwriters, because I'm sure it's like, it just seems like pulling teeth. Like, Teresa is the kind of person that whose mind is always made up, but she wants other people's like opinions just so that she can like still do her thing, but like know that she's talked to someone else and like deciding that they're wrong and she's right. Does that make sense?
She also, yeah, and she also is so, I think, deeply insecure that she needs someone to just be there, like as a witness to her existence.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, she's going through like a real tough time. Like,
she's fragile. Like,
she's fragile, and it's clear that this Joe Melissa drama is really like a redirection of her true like anger and sad feelings. Like, it's not them she's mad at. It's like really Joe Judice and like herself.
Jacqueline pours out two giant glasses of wine, and Teresa goes, "I sort of started writing it."
On her BlackBerry. Jacqueline's, I thought that this letter too, I was like, gosh, she's going to write like a real like sit down. She must need help. She's going to write like a 4-page letter that's like thoughtful. Whatever. And after literally it's hours go by, Jacqueline at one point goes to get CJ, brings him in and lays with him on the couch with her fucking heels on. And then Teresa's still like trying to write this letter. And at the
end, she's writing it on little notepads.
At the end of the letter writing process, you see that it's one page that's not even like an 8x11 piece of paper. It's a literal like stationary like letter. I'm like, did you just a whole day for this?
And it's the most rudimentary statements.
It's literally,
it's like
nothing.
Lizard brain statements. Like, you are offspring of my mother.
You are offspring of mother. You spent hours sitting in a mahogany library to craft a letter that basically is like AI has written as its like first crack at a letter.
Also, when she reads the first draft of it on her phone, Jack's face as she's reading it is just like stone faced. Jacqueline's like, what do you think the main thing you were missing in that letter? And she's like, what? She goes, the key to your brother's heart, his wife. And Teresa's like, well, most of the problem is because of his, like, it's so bizarre the way she wants to own her brother.
Yeah. And she also signs hates it. Melissa. Like, it's like,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Her lack of understanding is like that kind of person would drive me crazy. Like, I couldn't be around that type of vibe. And I mean, eventually Jacqueline just gives up. She's like, it's been all day. Like, she gets to a point where anything Teresa says, she's like, yeah, that sounds good. Then she has to drive Teresa over to Melissa.
She also signs a letter, love your only sister.
Like, who like, else?
So vindictive.
Yeah. Like, what other Teresa would have written?
I know. I also love when she rifles through her giant handbag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they drive over to the Gorgas, and she makes Jacqueline go with her. Jacqueline's like drunk and exhausted at this point.
She's literally like, please, anything to make this end. She drives her over there. Teresa's like, I gotta get out and knock on the door. I'm not gonna come all this way and not knock on the door. And then Jacqueline's like, don't do that. Like, why would you do that? And then she's like, I want to do it. And she's like, fine, just fucking do it. And then no one's home, so Teresa like jams the letter in the wrought iron gate, and then she's like, you think that's a good spot? And Jacqueline just goes, I would notice it.
Yeah. Jacqueline does not give a fuck.
No.
But Melissa and Joe aren't home, and then we see that they were just on a jog together.
Mm-hmm.
Melissa is wearing a hoodie with rhinestone crucifixes all over it.
She's wearing like a Juicy Couture, like goth glam rhinestone hoodie. Her hair is in pigtail. I love like a long curled pigtail for a run.
Yeah, she's like trying to work Joe's poison off him.
Yeah, she's like, pigtails are a definite poison pleaser. And
she's like, maybe a jog will help.
Yeah, and they go, and it's just like, that's also when like the beauty of New Jersey just like hit me on their fall day, when Melissa goes, it's so freezing, and I was like,
Northeast baby,
get me there.
So they get home, they discover it, and Melissa's like, why don't you read it? It's your sister. And he's like, I want to read it.
No, the dutiful wife read must it. read the letter.
So she reads it, and she's like, well, it seems like she's trying, like, in her way, she's attempting for Teresa to be accountable. And she's like, would you be open to meeting him? And he goes, if she becomes Teresa Gorga again, I'll talk to her. And I was like, what?
Both of yous. Something wrong. Yeah, Teresa's letter is like, I'm sorry if I hurt you. Please call me. Love your only sister, Teresa. It's like, that's not a letter. That's a note. That's literally a note to call me.
We were both raised in a nice Italian home.
I was like, okay. Anyway.
So the drama rages on.
More in store next week.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Stay healthy.
Stay healthy.
Social distance. Don't stop fucking going outside, everyone. If you're going outside,
please
just don't. I'm not assuming anyone listening to this. I'm just saying in general.
Readers are smart people. They seem like the kind of people that would stay home and take this shit seriously. But like, honestly,
if you see people, like, don't just keep doing what you're doing. Stay home. Practice social distancing. Don't assume, you know, we're all in this together.
Yeah, I guess the thing that I'm also realizing, like, reading people's stories, like, there was something on The Cut yesterday where it was like all these people talking about having to quarantine with their exes or being in situations. Yeah. And I was just like, oh my God, thank God that's not my life. And like, the sentiment is like, this is really hard for everyone. Like, we're all being negatively affected in various ways. So that kind of like makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. And like, people, you know, I saw stuff about like people who are in like abusive situations having to be with them. And, you know, there's a lot of, I have empathy for everyone.
Yeah.
Right now dealing with this.
And I guess everyone's going to have their different ways. And I feel like that's maybe just a denial factor, is like people going outside trying to like have a life of normalcy. But the more you go outside and gather in public places, the longer it's going to
take. This is going to take.
So like,
and the more sick people are, the more people are going to die.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I'm sorry. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer that's telling you that, but I fucking have had enough. Like, I'm sick of fucking quarantining, and like, I don't like social distancing as much as anyone else. Like, I believe me, would love to go outside and like lay, but it's just like not how it goes right now. I'd love to. There's so many friends that I want to see. I have a fucking godson that I like have not even been able to hold. It sucks, but I'm not going to just like do like.
I know.
Anyways, not to end this on like a down note.
No, quarantine heels are real. I'm wearing them right now. But yeah, so just stay tuned.
Put your quarantine heels on. Stay inside.
Get up every day and just try to live each day with the most of it. Slap some quarantine heels on. We're in this together. You can follow Lara at larasmarie.com.
You can follow Carrie at ecarrieo. Icaro. And
you can join Patreon.
Join Patreon for bonus episodes. They're great episodes. Patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. We talk about a lot of shit on them, and we also do reader mail. And if you are a patron, your emails get read. So send emails to us, sexyuniquepodcast@gmail.com. We get a lot of juicy emails. And
we do.
It's a really fun time.
And there's merch available that is for our show.
Yeah, there's merch. I'm selling now all the merch that we were going to sell at the shows. And that's for sale at larsmarie.com. And you just click on merch. And then there's a whole store I fulfill a lot of those orders myself, and shipping is kind of slow, but I am making sure that everyone's orders get shipped eventually. So
yay.
And sending you all love and light.
Love you all.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.